This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Novelist Natalie Wexler grew up in Baltimore, but she hadn't heard about Betsy Bonaparte, Elizabeth Patterson Bonaparte, daughter of one of the wealthiest families of Baltimore in the early 19th century. Betsy married Napoleon Bonaparte's younger brother and then got into a power struggle with the emperor, who wanted the marriage annulled. Eventually, she lost. But as Natalie Wexler started researching Betsy, she became even more intrigued by Betsy's good friend Eliza Crawford Anderson, especially when she learned Eliza had edited a weekly magazine in Baltimore and was quite likely the first woman to be an editor in the United States. So Natalie Wexler decided to spin her historical novel around Eliza, not Betsy. She named it with the same name Eliza gave her weekly publication, The Observer. And Natalie Wexler is here with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here.
This is just fascinating, especially for anyone interested in Maryland history, because so many of the people in this book actually lived in Baltimore at the beginning of the 19th century.
That's right. Yeah.
And I want listeners to know the technique you use that was constantly on my mind as I read this novel. Every chapter begins with one or more excerpts from one of the newspapers of the day, either Eliza's periodical, The Observer, or one of its competitors. How did you decide to do this?
Well, I had written an earlier historical novel where I did kind of the same thing, but with letters that I had come across. And I really liked having fiction interspersed with the real thing, real documents. I think partly because when I read a historical novel that's based on real events, a question in the back of my mind is often, well, how much of this really happened?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And although I know that often readers will get caught up in the story and not pay attention to what's in italics and what's not, everything that's in italics in the book is real. So if you are one of those readers like me who wants to say, wait a minute, what really happened here and what's fictional, to some extent you can figure that out from looking at the actual documents that are in the book.
Well, these excerpts, they were so hard for me to believe. They seem so gossipy, and they're like personal barbs going back from one editor to another. Was that really what newspapering was like in 1807 in Baltimore?
It was much more like that than newspapering is now. I mean, you have to remember, there really wasn't any such thing as a professional journalist. Even the newspapers, as distinct from the magazines, were pretty partisan. And also, in some ways, Baltimore is a small town now, but it was even smaller then. And this was just the elite. So these people pretty much knew each other and sometimes disliked each other. So there was a lot of sniping back and forth. I think The Observer and Eliza may have engaged in that more than some other publications because of her personality and what she had set out to do with her magazine. And also, I didn't include, there were definitely some longer essays that didn't have these personal attacks in them, but they weren't relevant to the plot, and frankly, they're pretty boring, so I didn't include them.
But you actually used these excerpts to form your plot, to connect the dots of the kinds of things that were being talked about week after week into what your characters were doing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it gave me this sort of skeleton of real events. And as I said, I didn't include everything that was in the magazine, but I decided, you know, there were a few things that happened during that year that were reflected in what Eliza was writing and what other people were writing that I could use as the backbone for a plot. And a lot of it had to do with art criticism. And there's an artist, you know, a real artist who is also a character in the novel. She also...
That's Mr. Guy?
Guy. Yeah, Francis Guy, who painted the view of Baltimore that serves as the cover of the novel. And then there is... a man who started as one of Eliza's main contributors, who I only know by his pseudonym, Benjamin Bickerstaff. And he quit in a huff. They had a falling out after a few weeks. He went off and started writing for other publications and, according to Eliza, was attacking The Observer a lot. I haven't really found what he wrote for those other publications, so I don't know, but I take her word for that. So I focused to some extent on her vendetta with Benjamin Bickerstaff and also her criticism of Francis Guy's artwork because he responded to that. And I knew I wanted to make these people characters.
That's Natalie Wexler here on Maryland Morning, WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about her new historical novel, The Observer, set in Baltimore 207 years ago. So in the first chapters, we see Eliza in her mid-20s who has been collaborating on another publication get the opportunity to edit this new weekly that intends to use satire to raise the standard of culture in Baltimore. We also meet Margaret. Tell us about Margaret and what she adds to the story.
Well,
she's fictional. Right?
She is fictional. I decided to invent a second main character because I realized I had a bit of a problem with Eliza. As you know, if you've read the book, she had fairly elitist ideas about things.
I guess, yeah.
And you know, some people might call her a snob. And I realized, although I think there are many things that are fascinating about her, I realized that this could be a difficult character for a modern reader to embrace. And I felt that she needed to be challenged on some of her assumptions about what ordinary working people were capable of doing. So I wanted to have a second character who was an ordinary working person. And I wanted that character to be somebody who also had her own ambitions, because I wanted a parallel to Eliza, who has ambitions that are not recognized by society as legitimate for a woman at the time. And so I invented a maid for Eliza, a young, poor orphan who comes and lives in her house and basically takes care of her young daughter. And the ambition I decided to give her was artistic, because I knew a lot of the plot was going to revolve around art, and I saw this as a way to connect all these characters. And of course, Margaret does become very crucial in the plot. I wasn't entirely sure when I started what role she was going to play. It sort of evolved, but I knew I wanted her to have artistic ambitions, to be an artistic housemaid, as one of the characters.
That's right, early on. And Eliza and Margaret alternate the narration chapter by chapter. One, it's in first person, once in Eliza's voice, mm-hmm. then in Margaret's voice. Both of them get caught up in affairs of the heart at a time when any behavior short of complete chastity ruined a woman's reputation if it was found out. Didn't that complicate your telling the story of Eliza as a woman holding what everyone thought was a man's job of editor?
Well, yes. I mean, the thing about writing about real people is they do things that you wouldn't necessarily have them do if they were fictional characters. And I think in a way it complicates things, and in a way it keeps you honest. And the fact is that there was a man who she married the following year in 1808.
An architect,
a French architect, an émigré named Maximilian Godefroy. Probably in France he would have been called Godefroy, but here in Baltimore he was called Godefroy. They met during this year, 1807, and became friends. And whether there was anything more than that in 1807, I can't know as a fact, but certainly there was gossip about them in 1808. So I imagined that there was gossip about the two of them in 1807. And the scandal with her was that she actually was married to somebody else, a man who had abandoned her years before. But she was still married, and so her friendship, an intimate friendship with a man, would be something that would be looked at askance. And, you know, I think that there are other women who are strong characters who challenge the role society prescribed to women, for women in the 19th century, who also very much wanted an emotional connection with a man. And I think of Margaret Fuller, who came about a generation later in the 19th century, and there's a wonderful biography of her that I read not long ago. She reminded me very much of Eliza. She was highly educated. She was a journalist, but she yearned throughout her life for love and ultimately found it. With Eliza, what's a little puzzling is after she edits The Observer, she has this very interesting, productive year in 1807. Then she marries this man, Godefroy. And as far as I can tell, she never publishes anything again and seems to devote herself to her husband's career. So that is a little troubling for me, but, you know, that's what happened.
What do you want readers to take from this book?
Two things. I feel that Eliza was a remarkable and historically significant woman who I stumbled across and who nobody knew about. There had been a few scholarly articles about her, the most recent in the 1950s, but none of them placed her in the context of women editors, and nobody acknowledged that she was really the first woman to edit a magazine in the United States. So I would like her to be remembered. And then with Margaret, what I was trying to do with her was give some voice to the many ordinary working people of the past whose voices have been lost to history because they didn't write letters and they didn't edit magazines and they didn't keep diaries. And it's very hard to get at the details of their individual lives.
It's a fascinating story. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Natalie Wexler, who grew up in Baltimore and now lives in Washington, where she's an education writer for the blog Greater Greater Washington. Her latest historical novel is The Observer. Natalie Wexler will be speaking about the novel at the Maryland Historical Society next Thursday, November 20th at 6 p.m. We have information about the event and the book on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, and more of this interview, too. What happened to Eliza and her lover? I'm Sheila Cast. More ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay with us on 88.1.